Nate Pearson of the Toronto Blue Jays is joining us on the line after his debut on Wednesday. Nate, what will you be watching this weekend, man? You're going to be a fan like the rest of us.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on. I'm going to be watching some baseball with the boys in here in D.C. when we're chilling here for the next couple of days.
What was it? I mean, people here, and I know that you guys have been in Washington the entire time, but people here have been talking near nonstop about your debut and how well the Jays came out of the gate. Let's talk about your debut for a second. What was it like to get out there and make your first big league start and do it the way you did it?
You know, it was a dream come true. You know, not being able to have my family and friends in the stands stunk a little bit, but you know, I felt all the support. I knew that everyone was watching and everything, and I just wanted to give my best shot to show the Blue Jays fans what's coming in the next few years with this young group we got.
Nate Pearson of the Jays here on Tim and Sid. Nate, correct me if I'm wrong. Forgive me, I've been wrong a bit lately. Your family was at a hotel in D.C. Just a few blocks away watching. Is that where they were?
Yes, they're here in town. They're watching from the hotel.
And what was it like seeing them afterwards? What was that interaction like?
It was emotional. You know, my mom was crying, so made me cry just seeing her all emotional. And my dad, you know, he's put so much effort and just so many sacrifices, all the lessons for me growing up, and just to be able to share that moment with them was everything. It was awesome.
I know it's not quite the same, but they were there because they're not far from home in Dunedin for your spring debut when you had it in Dunedin. Like, your dad called that phenomenal. What did Pop say after this one?
He was just saying, you're amazing. Like, you're a stud, and all the hard work's paying off. Just so many emotions going through. He was just very proud of me, and it was a great feeling.
Nate Pearson of the Toronto Blue Jays here on Tim and Sid. Nate, when you went back into the dugout when you were done your fifth inning, it was apparent you were done for the night because everyone was laughing. Like, it was one pat on the back after another. Pete Walker and Montoya. What were they saying to you when you walked down the steps?
They were just saying, "Great job!" Like, they didn't expect anything less. Like, they're just pumped to finally have me up there because, you know, it's been 3 years since I got in the org, and been on that prospect list for 3 years, and they're all just talking about how bad they want me up there, and I finally got my shot, and they're all just proud, and just everyone was happy that we're in a good place, that we're winning some games, and that we're ready to go this season.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead, Sid.
I was going to ask, what surprised you in the moment on the mound that maybe you weren't expecting?
Just taking the moment to realize I'm pitching against the reigning national champs, you know, like the World Series champs, and Trey Turner, my first at bat, or first guy I face, and it's just like, it's Trey Turner, the shortstop, you know, so it's like, it's not in the minor leagues anymore where you don't really know the guys you're facing, you know, so every guy that came up there I've heard of and knew of, so it was pretty cool.
You admitted that there were some nerves in Boston. Was it different in Washington?
I kind of feel like I got all my nerves out in Boston. Like, I felt like that was honestly my big league debut. And Fenway and facing their A lineup in Boston and with J.D. Martinez and all of them. So, you know, I kind of feel like I got it all out in that first inning there. And then I settled in after the first rocky inning in Boston, and then I came into this outing, and I knew I was probably going to have the same nerves, but like once I got out there and started competing, it all went away, and it was just like a normal game for me.
Nate Pearson of the Toronto Blue Jays here on Tim and Sid. Nate, I was watching MLB Network for most of that day leading up, and every time they brought you up, first off, it was in glowing terms, and secondly, they mentioned 103, 104 in every sentence. It was Nate Pearson. He can hit 103, 104. How tempting was it for you to get out there knowing full well the baseball world knows how deep you can reach in terms of speed to pull out what like a 103 and just give everyone a bit of a show?
Yeah, you know, so I knew I probably wasn't going to be able to hit that that famous number like I did in the past, just because, you know, fresh into the season, still kind of building up. But, you know, I just wanted to show off my secondary stuff, man, because, like, I'm known for my heater, my fastball, and it was good in my debut, but what I really showed is that I can pitch, man, and I can throw with my slider, I can throw my changeup, I can throw my curveball, I can throw everything at these guys, and that's kind of what I wanted to show.
It's funny, you talk about that a lot. Does it affect your mindset when so many people just want to talk 103, 104, and you know, as a kid that grew up loving baseball, that pitching is more important than the 103, 104, even though the 103, 104 is real nice to have? Like, does it alter your mindset? Like, I'm a pitcher, man. I'm a pitcher.
Yeah, you know, so when I got into the minor leagues, I was still, like, crazy about velo, and, like, I still am. Like, I love that I throw hard. It's a big part of my game. But once I got into the pro ball, I realized, like, I can't just throw hard. Like, I got to be able to pitch, and if I want to be a Hall of Famer, I gotta get some secondary stuff that's just as good as my heater, and that's what I pride myself in. That's what I worked for. And so I want to kind of not eliminate the stigma of just, like, oh, man, he goes hard. Like, I want people to say that, oh, man, he's so gross. He's nasty. Like, he's seen that slider. He's seen that curveball changeup. Like, I want them to be talking about my whole arsenal, not just my heater.
It's funny because you mentioned Hall of Fame. If I want to be a Hall of Famer, I've been so impressed with your mental game. I've heard stories being told about your mental game. Like, is that the goal? Do you realize how good you can be?
Yeah, I mean, I know I have a shot to be great. And the way I think about it, the way my mentality is so good is because I know the opportunity that I have, and I'm not going to blow it. You know, I'm not going to do anything stupid. Like, I'm going to focus on my craft and just try to get better each outing and do everything I can to keep learning and not be closed-minded and always adapt and change my routine when I need to, you know, just not get so fixated on one outcome or one routine and just get comfortable. You know, you got to keep pushing the limits. You got to keep striving for greatness.
Nate, I think it's gross that you just said, I need a secondary Hall of Fame pitch. Like, that's, I'm glad Tim kind of focused on it, because that, I think that's what separates, and Tim and I talk about this all the time. That's not the mentality a lot of 23-year-olds have. I mean, we've seen enough 23-year-olds coming through the majors. They're like, you know, they want to stay in the fourth spot. They want to be in the rotation for a while. They want to prove. You're telling us you have a different mentality about what you can do in this game than some other young kids.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just understand the opportunity and the shot that I have. You know, like, it's if I have a 10 to 15 year career, you know, I want to make the most out of it. You know, I'm not going to be able to throw hard and be able to pitch my whole life. You know, I got a limited opportunity here in the next decade or so. So I'm trying to make the most out of it and just seize the opportunity.
Do you know where you get that perspective from? Because I don't, like, listen, both Sid and I have been in the business, even though we sound like young pups and we're young, hip, and edgy. We've been in the business for a while. Yeah, we've been here for about 20 years. And that perspective, to me, I oftentimes say that perspective is usually expensive because you have to go through some bleep to get that perspective. Do you know where you got that perspective at such a young age?
Yeah, I think when I first got injured and I had surgery my junior year of high school, and I missed playing baseball for a whole year. And I kind of realized, like, you know, like, if I want to stay healthy, if I want to make it, I gotta work harder than anyone. And I really learned a lot being 17 and just creating that mindset that no matter what happens, like, I gotta keep persevering, I gotta keep going, and just get obsessed with the craft of learning how to get better. You know, if I struggle one outing, okay, what did I struggle on? What can I do to make that better? Who can I talk to help me get an edge? Or what coach can I go to? You know, what player can I talk to that does that really well? Let me play catch with him and just pick his brain. You know, it's just all about learning and adapting.
Nate Pearson of the Toronto Blue Jays here on Tim and Sid. During your start, Nate, I got a text from someone who was just gushing. And I texted back, and the Jays have until 2026. And he went, well, that's a long time. Now, I know the reason for that is because you were held back for service time issues, and it's a reality of baseball, and a lot of young players have to deal with it. What is your perspective on that in hindsight? Because it was only a week, but you're a competitor, and you know you belong. How pissed off were you that happened?
You know, they told me when I was going to start, and I think Wednesday after my start in Fenway, they told me I got the sixth game of the season, so I kind of did the math. And I was like, oh, that's, you know, right after the service time date, you know, it's kind of just chuckling. But, you know, I'm glad that they just told me up front, look, you got the sixth game of the season. And, like, they didn't tell me, like, we're doing it because of service time. Obviously, they can't do that. But, you know, it's whether that's the reason or not, like, I'm going to be in the big leagues. And I wouldn't have to wait a month like it would if this was a full season. So I don't have to go back to AAA. Like, I put in all the work during this quarantine time, and they saw that, and they're like, all right, well, we're still going to keep his service time, whatever, but we're not going to waste any time. We're going to call him up right after that day, and I'm lucky that it's only been a week. So I was just glad to hear that they're going to give me the ball.
I got to ask about the fans in the stands. Like, I know you mentioned high school and missing the year in high school. Like, you probably had more folks at your last Bishop McLaughlin start than were in Washington, never mind this whole global pandemic thing. Like, did that affect you at all on the field, or are you able to just zone in and it's you versus the hitter?
Yeah, me and some of the starters on the team, we're actually just talking about that. Like, once you start facing hitters in the season and in the game, like, you forget that fans aren't even there. Like, you would think that you would notice. I mean, they got the fan noise going. Like, you don't really pay attention to it. But at the end of the day, you're so locked in on the catcher and, like, getting batters out and, like, performing and just competing that you forget that there's no fans there. And I think that, I mean, that's just kind of a good thing. It just shows that, like, our mentality at the pitching staff is we're just so locked in on getting outs. And I think that's pretty cool.
Nate Pearson of the Jays are on Tim and Sid. Your start Wednesday, if memory serves, that's technically the Jays' first home game of the season. I anticipate you starting a few home openers in your career for this organization before you're done. Does 45,000 people watching you add to your velo? Like, what will that do to your stuff?
It definitely will just give me more adrenaline, you know. Definitely see the velo pick up there in the later innings as well. But, yeah, just feeding off that crowd energy is electric.
Hey, before we let you go, Nate, I got to ask, you were talking about some of the starters out there and some of the pitchers about the crowd. Like, what are the boys saying about the mini all-star break that you find yourselves in? I think it was Davey Martinez who coined it the all-star break a little early. Like, this is all a little different for pros, like maybe not for NCAA or JUCO players to get the 4 days off again. Like, what are the boys saying about this kind of unexpected layoff?
You know, that we really don't know what to think about it, man, because, like, we're not really thinking about it as an all-star break because we each got one start, and then we're on a two-day break. So it's like no one really got to get their feet wet. I mean, we each had one start, but that's like nothing, man. Like, we each only had through, like, five innings, and, you know, pitch counts, we're still building up. You know, we're all, like, 80 pitches and 90 pitches. And I think we just want to get on a good routine. You know, obviously, with this virus going around, we got to be careful. And you see how it's still affecting us. You know, we're not in a bubble, so we got to make sure our teammates are doing the right things and just being safe.
Just you and the boys take care of yourselves. It was a treat to see you out there Wednesday. We know there's other stuff going on here. But, again, a huge congratulations, Nate, on Wednesday. I know there's a lot more to come from you, but that was a big moment with your family not far. And And a lot of Jays fans really excited over that. We appreciate the time. Let's talk again soon. Thanks, man.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.